Welcome to the monthly meeting of the Humanist Union of Madison. Our speaker today is Stephanie Isaac, a free-thinking humanist from North Dakota who moved here 3 years ago. Her three children include a daughter who is currently attending the UW-Madison. And as we were just talking about, another son is working on a podcast for Mother Jones magazine. She worked with emotionally disabled children in the public school system in North Dakota and has worked in the humanist service field most of her life. Since March of this year, she has been working with Second Harvest in Madison on the Food Share Outreach to Older Adults project, which we'll hear about today. Please welcome Stephanie Isaac.
Hi. Thank you, everyone, for letting me share some information. Just wanted to start out to introduce a little bit of what Second Harvest is, and many of you probably know, but there's different parts of Second Harvest. There's the distribution side, and then there's the food share side. So this just gives you a little bit of an overview of what Second Harvest Food Bank is, and kind of talks about the agencies and the people that we serve. It's one of 200 food banks in the country, one of five in the state of Wisconsin, providing food distribution. We get in massive amounts of food from farmers, from donations, handle the food. Most all of it is handled, redistributed, takes it out to food banks, to meal sites, and to places in 16 different counties in the southwest part of Wisconsin. On the second page of that printout, it shows you the different ways of the different things that happen at Second Harvest. The field to food bank, the food, it's on the back of the second page. The field to food bank, the food rescue, the food outreach, kids cafes, mobile pantries, and the summer food program. So there's many different avenues. The project that I'm working on is just working in the food share piece. How many of you are familiar with food share, food stamps? Part of the project that I work on, my grant project, is part of education, and to try to point out that it isn't food stamps anymore. It used to be called food stamps, but it's called food share. It's changed, it's been revamped, it's been made much more private, much more easy to use. So this is just a little bit of information on that and what SNAP is. And SNAP is a Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and it's in every state in the country. Every county in Wisconsin has it, even though there's five food banks and we just cover the southwest, but in Wisconsin it's called Food Share. In other states it's called different things, but it's in every state. The money is deposited onto a Quest card, just a debit card that just makes it very easy for people to use. The reason for our grant award, there's some statistics for you in there on the next pages, but more than 2 out of 3 seniors are not claiming the benefit, even though they are eligible. So part of the project, I'll go on to tell you more about that, but is to reach out to those seniors that are eligible for it and don't know about it, aren't sure how to apply. Maybe feel that, you know, they have worked hard all their life, they have never had to ask anyone for help, someone else needs it more than they do, you know, dispelling all these myths. So the grant award in December of 2012, they were notified that there was a $100,000 grant by Feeding America, and it was matched by the USDA. So the grant went specifically to just provide outreach and find ways to reach those seniors. Since I don't have this on top, but this shows you some statistics per county of the 16 counties that we serve. And this is before our project started. Now, we are going to reach our goal, which was 1,832 total applications. So this will be higher. But just even in Dane County alone, almost 5,000 seniors that, according to the census, according to different statistics, would qualify for this benefit but just aren't applying for it or aren't using it. So when you look at the numbers, it's daunting. The vision in the grant, to develop best practices, to find ways to reach seniors, to give them the information, but also to help them enroll. This shows our pilot project information. and how we went about doing that. Now it's winding down because it'll end at the end of the year, but I still wanted to share the information with you so you can kind of know what's happening and give me some ideas on how I can reach people that perhaps that you know. So on the project activities page, number one, the project coordinator, who is myself, we also have an advisory committee formed with people from all over the state, lawyers, people that have worked in Department of Health Services, people that seniors who are just, I should have had page numbers on here for you. They're wrong, I'm sorry. But an advisory committee that kind of guides us and tells us, okay, make sure you check on this, make sure you check on that. One of the really cool things about the grant project was also a senior outreach corps, which is seniors or people that I looked for, recruited, talked to be our eyes and ears in their county, in their community. I can't get to all 16 counties. I can't get down to Grant County, you know, like I should. So we have a few senior ambassadors who, some of them are retired social workers. I have one gentleman who's in Iowa in Lafayette County who works with AARP. And so he, as he's doing his thing, he shares the information with his neighbors, with his friends, versus me coming down and saying, oh, hi, I'm from Second Harvest in Madison. Let me tell you something. They are from the community, and it's really a great, great project. We're found throughout the whole process that having ambassadors in every county was so time-consuming, so for me to support them, so we don't have them in all counties. But I think it's certainly a great piece of the grant that we can share with other states to help get the word out. We also subcontracted with the Wisconsin Council of Churches and the Time Bank. The Time Bank has a very small area, so they didn't have as easy of a time to connect with people, so they are done with helping us. But the Wisconsin Council of Churches reaches people throughout the state, so not as fine-tuned as what I do going into, you know, pieces, but still overreaching, sharing it with the bulletins and with them. So part of the project activities is trying to find ways to get that information out. We had a direct mailing with AARP, which was phenomenal. We had over 1,000 calls to our helpline just from that mailing, and then we had a direct mail piece through Second Harvest as well, which we had not quite 1,000, but almost. So the whole point of the information is to get our helpline number out, and coming up I'll show you how that all works too, but also to spread that information, to share, you know, why it's important and why it's good. Newsletters, radio, and shop, and in newspapers as well. Did anyone see it in the Wisconsin Journal? Our big food share ad. It was in Wednesdays and Sundays, but you know, you can put them in, and then they always tell you, well, you can expect point something something response from this. So, but still, if we can generate, you know, a couple hundred people calling and knowing about it, it's good. Why aren't people participating in food share? So a lot of confusion about the program. For one, when I first started being fairly new to Wisconsin, people would say, oh, I don't need that food. You know, it wasn't the kind of food that I wanted. There used to be a program called Share, where they would give you a box of food or bay, you know, a certain. So trying to tell people, okay, nope, this is not this. This is a program through the Department of Agriculture that gives you money. So part of it is confusion. People are confused or have incorrect information about eligibility requirements. And many times it's daunting or overwhelming, especially for seniors or people that are disabled, people that do not speak English. It's daunting. There's an eligibility chart for you on one of the, looks like this. And this is the new guidelines that just will be coming November 1st. So if you're a household of one person and your income is $1,916 per month gross, you would be eligible for benefits. And then it's two household, three. So it kind of gives you an idea. It's 200% of the poverty level, which is higher than many programs. So even people, you know, that probably don't qualify for a couple different programs could qualify for this. Every state has their different level of guidelines. Wisconsin's very generous. Not all of them are 200% of the poverty level. using food share is no longer, it's no longer used with the coupons, with the, you know, you go up to the checkout counter, yeah, and you always hear horror stories about people getting on the intercom and, you know, can you buy this with, you know, it's just on a little debit card, it's so easy to use and so confidential. You can use it at grocery stores, convenience stores, Target, Walmart, Walgreens. You can use it at farmers markets. And in Dane County, there's a program right now. I don't know if it, has anyone heard of the Double Dollars program? There's four different farmers markets. If you have the Quest card, you can get double your money, your dollars for the produce at the farmers markets in those four. It's a pilot project. It's not through us. It's through, I think, the mayor or someone had got a grant for this, but you can go and say, I want $10 worth of Quest card, and they'll give you $20 of produce. So the farmers markets really enable people to get, you know, the fresh nutritional produce. It can be used to purchase anything that you prepare yourself. It can't be used for deli stuff or hot foods, but anything that you buy that you can prepare yourself. And part of the education piece is letting people know that there's a whole list of people here, you know, families with children if you've been laid off, seniors, students. There's certain requirements for people if you're under 60. If you're 60 years old and are under those guidelines, then you most likely will qualify for at least some of the benefit. The minimum being $15 a month, but the maximum is almost $200 a month for one person. So if you're living on a very low income, or if you're laid off and you have hardly any income, or if you're getting by just on disability, that can really make a difference and help you stretch your food budget. How we do the outreach at Second Harvest, our food bank has an outreach program, and nowhere else in the state do they do it like this, but we feel very strongly that to reach out people and connect them with the benefit and with the information is so important. And I've worked with seniors most all my life, and to tell them, oh, here's a phone number, why don't you call or go down to the county, for often they don't have the transportation to do it, or it's just too daunting for them. So how it works, there's a slide that shows you how we currently do outreach. We have flyers, we have specialists, we have six specialists that go out into the 16 counties and do outreach, but also meet with people. I have the orange flyer that I gave you lists our senior helpline. Our staff, our helpline is staffed entirely by volunteers. We do have one person now that is paid because of the grant project, but anyone calls the number. You don't have to give your name, no identifying information. You can just say, this is how many people in my household, and this is what my income, please tell me what I qualify for. And if they qualify, then we'll say, okay, where do you live? What county? Are you in Janesville? Are you in Platteville? Where are you? And then we bring it up on our calendar, and there's specialists that go right to the community, to the senior centers, to the libraries, to St. Vincent's, to every place that that person could most easily get to. And then they will enroll them in the benefit, fill out the application, and submit all the documents. We bring our scanners with, we submit everything. It goes to the county, and then from there, the county processes it. But it saves them the step of having to, you know, try to figure out the application. You can do this online. You can go to the Access website and you can do it yourself. But often, you know, seniors especially, do they have time or do they know how to go on? And it's 12 pages long. And even if you have your kids helping you, when we do it, there's, you know, things we can skip. You don't need this for seniors. So it just gives you a little bit of information on how our helpline works. Our Second Harvest in general, we have over 5,000 hours every month with volunteers. So 90%+ of our work is done by volunteers, which is so extraordinary that everyone, you know, gives of their time and helps us to be possible. One of the things we talk about when I talk with seniors is how really user-friendly the card is. Money is just deposited every month onto the card automatically, and then once a year there's a renewal to see if anything's changed. But you don't have to use that money every month. The money can sit in there and it can build up over, you just need to use it once a year. So someone will say, well, I'm not gonna apply if I only get $16 a month. Well, that's almost $192 by the end of the year. Would you throw that away? No. Certainly it should be more, and certainly people can use more help, but it's still, and it's not meant to be, you know, to solve everything. It's meant to be a supplement and just to kind of help you know, free up some money for other things. Using food share benefits benefits your community as well. For every $5 that someone uses on their card and brings to their local store, it's almost $9 to the local economy. Especially when you're using it at the farmers markets, you're helping those people to, you know, support their produce and their products there as well. The messaging we use, we try to just provide just factual information to make it a really an easy process for them, to let them know that here, you know, most all of our information has the guidelines on it, has our helpline on it, just to try to point out that please call the helpline, just let us answer your questions, you don't have to give your name, just find out if it's for you. Part of it with seniors too is, you know, I don't need that program, I don't need charity, and not just seniors, but everyone. I've worked with returning veterans that come and say, okay, I'm so embarrassed, I'm so sorry, but I don't have any money. I have kids with me, and trying to convince them that this is a benefit that we have all paid into. It's money that's set aside through the Department of Agriculture. It's there to utilize, like unemployment, like Social Security, just trying to point out that that benefit is there for them. And especially now with everything in the news, with the cuts in the government, with the Wisconsin trying to regulate what can be purchased and what's constituted as, you know, appropriate food for people to purchase, it doesn't always have a good stigma. So talking points, trying to, and I'll ask you too when I'm done, your feelings on when you hear about it. Do you hear the negativity, or do you know people that are being helped by it? I have a few tab flyers here that look like this. If you work anywhere, or if you know anywhere that we could share the information, flyers too. A lot of my time is taken up with speaking to people, but also senior events. So if you know of any senior events or things that I could reach people at, I would certainly love to hear that. Between September, October, and November, I have over 10 different senior fairs and senior events that I'm going to share the information. We work closely with the ADRCs, the Aging and Disability Resource Centers, to, because they also enroll people, which can be kind of confusing, but
yes. You put flyers up in grocery stores?
We do.
Mm-hmm. And one of the people in the local church sponsored food banks, I used to live in Monroe, and the food bank was church sponsored. Do they help people with these problems too? Do you work through the local food banks? Because that food bank in Monroe only gave people a rather modest box once a month. It certainly didn't fulfill any needs.
Yeah, that happens with the pantries, and a lot of the pantries are supported by churches or other groups, and they order, they get food from us, but we don't...
you don't advertise it.
No, it's kind of their thing. And we have our mobile pantry program. Is anyone familiar with the mobile pantries? We load up our big, huge semis, and we go out into the counties, and that's also sponsored by a volunteer group, and they just drop off the pallets of food, and then this fabulous, amazing group of volunteers gets it out. But you're right, often those pantries are only open maybe the first Wednesday morning of the month or something, and it's really hard.
But you put your flyer up.
They don't want to cooperate with you?
They do. I mean, most of them all cooperate. They share our information, and we have our specialists at those pantries often.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they're handing out flyers, and they're doing outreach, and they're talking to people in line. Yeah, so they do. It's just they have never had anyone that does just what I do because of before the grant project. So there's so much for me to do in all these counties. So I try to get to the senior fairs, and I try to get to the, you know, where I can get. I was in Beloit last week. That must have been several hundred people where I could kind of, and the aisles were so narrow that they had to come right past me to get through. And so I could say, please call this helpline. You know, you don't, and with so many people trying to fraud seniors and people now, you know, they're very leery of the phone calls. So I would say, here's my card, you know, call me just to let them know. But still people are leery, and there's like nothing is for free. And it's when I try to tell them I have free money available for them, it's like, sure, what's the catch?
They should, and that's part of the problem.
Right. Yeah, so.
Now, how much are you going to be affected by the federal, by the Farm Act being delayed in passage?
We're not sure yet, and my supervisor, Michelle Kramer, is the one who gets that information, and I know that I had an email that I did not even read thoroughly, but because of the shutdown, it's going to be affected. The food that's been ordered already is there, but any future, yeah, so we don't know yet, and it's going to certainly be affected. And naturally, there was the U.S. Department of Agriculture had allowed a waiver to kind of make certain things easier during the recession, and now that expires, I believe, at the end of October or so. So the cuts are going to be, the amount per household will go down a little bit, but not as drastically. We don't know, and I don't know the answer to that, unfortunately, but I'm sure certainly affected.
Back to the card, though.
Mm-hmm.
If I have one of those cards and it has this $16 on it, and I'm shopping and I buy $35 worth of food, how does it work in terms of presenting that card?
Mm-hmm.
What are the steps and
right.
the problems in that paying part of it and my paying the rest? And
That's a great question. Whenever I sit down to enroll someone, I always try to really explain it. You don't have to do anything different. You just take your cart and you wheel it up and you put everything out there. You don't have to sort it out. And then the checker runs it all through, and then you let them know that you're going to use your, or it'll say EBT, there's an EBT button on there, or you'll just say, I'm going to use my Quest card. And then it will give them a total for what is eligible to be paid for with their Quest card. And then they'll scan the card, push EBT, and then they will get a second total, and then that will be everything else.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So very simple through the process of the checkout.
Now, you mentioned something about the surplus food and through the USDA, but this is strictly whatever you buy at the grocery. It's not a matter of using up some farmer's excess crops.
Right. This is just
some
money.
Programs,
right.
Like the schools get this food, but it may not be the food they want.
Right, that's commodities, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, this is just strictly money. It's through the Department of Agriculture. It's just money and funds that are available for that, yeah.
So, and it's that program that was in jeopardy.
So the SNAP program.
Yeah, families with children are eligible, right?
Yes, everyone is eligible.
Are school counselors given? Because, I think they're often aware of families and that could use it.
Mm-hmm.
Are they, does anybody bring them up to speed on?
I would hope so. I know a couple of our specialists work very closely with schools.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of students, and I was amazed at this. And I worked for the school system, but it's different in North Dakota. We don't have the number of people you have. But one of the specialists was telling me that there is a large number of students in high school that are on their own. They're kicked out of their house. They're between 13 and they're staying with friends, or they're homeless. And yes, they can certainly be enrolled. So they can at least, if nothing else, have some food. You have to have some address of some sort to send things to. But often they'll have a friends or a shelter or something. But it's for anyone.
Get a mailbox out.
Yeah.
Do the homeless in Madison have access to
yes.
the program?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them don't have an address.
A lot of them can go through the agency that they're with, or a lot of places will have addresses for them, or the county. You can use the county address and stuff too. And our specialists work closely with the homeless population. Another population that I've been targeting is veterans. My son is a Marine Corps veteran, and so it was important to me to share that information. So I've been collaborating with veteran service officers. I've been down to the one in Madison and the one in Janesville. And John Solis is the veterans officer in Janesville and Beloit, but he's also the president of the veteran service officers group for the state. So working closely with him, and he has agreed to put a link to our food share on the state website. So it isn't quite there yet because he's busy with a few things, but I'm hopeful that we can get that on there as a resource so that veterans can find it, because there's a veteran service officer in every county, which is unique to Wisconsin, which I thought was really great, so they can get help.
I'm confused about the 60-plus. Is that your project in dealing with the... It's not food shares. Food share doesn't have the age limitation.
Right,
but your
right.
project is aiming specifically at
right,
okay.
right, yeah.
that population that's not... Getting.
Yeah, I'm sorry, maybe I'm not. I'm all over the board because it helps everyone, but specifically the grant project is just to reach out to seniors, anybody 60 and over.
Got it.
Now, for anybody, teens, mm-hmm. Emancipated teens, mm-hmm. young adults, would still call the same number?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There, you may see, like in my PowerPoint there, which I realized that I didn't have the number real visible in there, so it was a good thing to learn from. But on one of them, it has an 877 number. It's the exact same number, except it's our senior line is 855, just for grant tracking purposes, to see where, you know, how we're reaching the seniors. It's the same number. It reaches the same volunteer in the same small office at our Second Harvest. But I always hand out the senior ones because then people know that I'm out there and I'm doing something, and anyone can call that number.
Because we just, I know one of our members has just had contact with a trans teen who turned 18 and is out of a foster home and basically was on the street. So
yeah.
now they
mm-hmm.
found shelter for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like she would be a person who wouldn't begin to know about this, but would be eligible.
Absolutely, yeah.
I will pass that information.
Yeah. And if you're a student, there's a certain age, there's different requirements, you know, of work hours, or if you have no income, it's different. So I'm not as familiar with every criteria for anyone that's younger, but certainly if someone has no income, they should certainly call.
You have to be a citizen?
Let's see where I have that information. Yeah. If I would have had this more organized for you.
Okay, so if you're here on a valid visa.
Yes, okay. And you have to be here.
Like
5 years. 5 years, yes.
Oh, okay. So there's some...
Here, me, in the state.
Pretty significant limitations.
In the state.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
okay.
There is. I'm so sorry I didn't have these numbered correctly so we could know where we were.
5 years.
Anyway.
Is that 5 years in the country or 5 years in the state?
Been in the U.S. for 5+ years.
Yeah, there you go.
So what happens at the...
Pardon me?
What happens at what?
I was going to defer to you. You started.
Bumba has a question. I didn't quite get it.
My question was, it's 5 years. Everything that we've talked about here is 5 year citizenship requirement.
The seniors and everything.
So yeah.
Not just the seniors, but...
Right, to qualify for the food share
everything,
program.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. And there's no asset questions. I mean, that's a big thing with seniors. I work with farmers.
Yeah,
and they'll say, oh, well, I don't qualify because I have land, but I don't have any money. So, well, if you have no income, then you would qualify. If you're not getting... We don't ask about assets for anything. Different things count as assets. You know, when I go to enroll some of the seniors, I'll say, okay, so this is your only income. Yes. Well, then I do have that interest that, you know, and, well, yeah, I do have. So, you know, it's a little tricky for some people that to determine what is income. And we have documents through our helpline that we'll give you. We can mail it to you or we can answer the questions. But most of the people I work with, yeah, that's it. I get Social Security. I have a small pension. They qualify.
Now, what happens to your grant at the end of the year? And what happens to the program? Is there ongoing, will there still be ongoing work
identifying seniors?
I don't think they'll be ongoing for seniors, but everything will continue just like it was before I got there. They'll still have all the specialists, they'll still continue the outreach, and hopefully what I have done that works well, or what we've learned, you know, we know that our partnerships with AARP is wonderful, so we can put that all into the plan and sustain that. But unless there's another grant or a continuation of the grant, which it doesn't seem there will be, there won't be just the senior outreach, which is why I'm so furiously trying to reach out to ask all of you, you know, suggestions, because every time I talk with anyone, it's like, well, have you tried this? It's like, oh my gosh, that's a great idea. You know, we're winding down towards the end of the year where I would love to hear your thoughts or suggestions. We have found that getting it in a newsletter works really, really well. If you have any connection with that, we connected with Gunderson Lutheran, which is a Medicare Advantage type plan out of La Crosse. They send information to Minnesota, Illinois, I believe, and three states, and in Wisconsin. We had over 100 calls just from that newsletter. And I'm connecting with some other medical newsletters, the Group Health Cooperative, which is my insurance. I had connected with them. They have a beautiful newsletter, and they're hoping to put it in there. Save Our Seniors, which is the Madison-based, they're putting it in there. Senior centers put it in their newsletters. The ADRCs put it in there. So anywhere we can reach that population. Often the population that's really, really struggling, perhaps in assisted living, they don't qualify because you have to have, prepare most of your meals yourself. Mm-hmm. But there's that middle ground of people that maybe are not quite retired. Maybe they're 62, 63, 59, and they're not quite retired, but they're struggling because the costs are horrendous, and they don't really qualify for this or this, but they might qualify for this. So pointing out to them that, you know, this is available, at least investigate it, check it out, see what we can do to help you stretch your food budget. I'm working with pharmacies, with Walgreens, and just connected with Malott's here in Madison. So I'm meeting with them on Friday, trying to point out that's a great combination, because if you can't afford your prescription, you probably can't afford your food. So, you know, if we can get them some money for food, perhaps that frees up a little bit for their prescription. So that kind of partnership there.
How about any of
Frank had a question.
Oh, go
ahead. Yeah, I just wanted to ask about the Meals on Wheels programs. Triple A's all around the country. I used to, you know, be involved with the largest one in New Jersey. We had, you know, 400, 500 people when I ran it. When I left, it was about 1,000 people on Meals on Wheels. So how does that relate to what you're talking about? Does it?
I'm not sure. Some places will accept the Quest card for their Meals on Wheels. Most of the places that I talk to, perhaps you would have advice for me, they do not want to share that information with them. And I'm not sure if it's an ongoing reason. For example, Home Health United, they've been wonderful to share with different things, but they don't want to give that information to their homebound people. Another part of the problem is if we can get them the information, how do we get them enrolled if they can't leave their home? We can send them a paper application, which is horrendous to fill out.
Would they have to go themselves to purchase the food with their Quest card?
No, if they have the Quest card, they set up a four-digit PIN number and anyone can shop for them. It's just to get that original application filled out, because we can't go into their homes. But we've had a great connection with senior housing, where we can go into the lobby, and that works so great because the director or the manager of the apartment complex says, wow, here's a great benefit, come down. They're going to come and talk to you that day. They'll get you enrolled. But we're not sure how to, you know, other than mailing someone that 12-page or, you know, even a short application, which many seniors can fill out and mail back, but then many can't or don't or aren't sure how to do it. So I thought that in myself that Meals on Wheels connection would be really great, but it's been a little bit a hard.
What is your relation with the Triple A? I guess they're now called ADRCs. They were just changing over when I left.
Yeah.
Are they very cooperative in this? venture?
Most all of them are great because we all do the same work, and they actually do the applications themselves there. I found a few in some of the outlying counties. They will say to me, okay, we're fine. We take care of everybody. Don't worry about it. We got it covered. When in reality, according to our statistics, really, there is people that aren't being served. But, you know, I'm sure they're doing the very best they can, and they know their county better than I do, so I don't like to barge in and say, hey, by the way, you might be missing some people out. But in the most part, they're phenomenally supportive. And whenever we send out information to anyone on the food share, we always send the ADRC information as well. All our specialists and myself have it in our packet. No matter what county we go to, here, call the ADRC. Here's, you know, who you can connect with for other things. So.
Because it's an essential part of the mission of any AAA to deal with people that are economically and socially deprived.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly economically deprived in terms of the hungers.
Right.
Obvious. That's why I raised the question.
Right, yeah. It's
There was some feeling about, in some of the AAAs or some of the agencies that we funded, with regard to food stamps. So we used to do it in our own office, but not always the people that, we used to have to ride herd on them to make sure that they were actually looking at that also, because a lot of their people felt that that was beneath them.
Yeah.
Which is very unfortunate.
Right. Well, and sometimes when they go to the ADRC or other, you know, elder benefit specialists, there's so many things that they're helping them with. So we just provide the information. If for some reason we can help supplement what you're doing our specialists really are experts on food share. They can tell you every deduction. And that's a big piece of it too, you know, with the cuts now as of November 1st or the minimum used to be 16, now it's going to be 15. So a big push with the education piece. Do you know you can submit this document, that document, you can submit all these documents so to maximize your Quest benefit to its full potential. One elder benefit specialist that works with us, she's on our advisory committee, and her people that she helps most often get the upper level maximum amount because she's so diligent about submitting all those documents, you know, all your medical bills, all your eyes, dentist, you know, if you travel to the clinic, you can deduct mileage to go to the clinic. I've been to the dialysis centers and helped people there who are certainly in need of that information. So trying to the education piece. It's hard right now with all the cuts, with everything that's happening, and with people who think, well, there's a reason you shouldn't be able to buy soda and candy with your food share. And there's a whole other side of that, which, okay, probably we would agree you shouldn't, but the money and the financial burden on the state to try to implement something like that would be hundreds of thousands of dollars. And how do you tell this local merchant who has this little convenience store in this dinky little town, and that's the only place people can get food, that they can't buy this because we don't think it's healthy? I mean, who makes that judgment call? So
what I was thinking is, have you talked to unions?
I have not.
I was thinking of something like SEIU, Service Employees Union, where there are some unions who organize people who are the service employees is a good example. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some people who are fairly low on the pay scale,
mm-hmm.
That might still be eligible, or people from the unions who have then retired who were relatively
That's
low
a
on
great
the pay
idea.
Scale.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow. Thank you very much.
SEIU is, because that's my union, is what came to mind, but I'm sure there are others.
Service employee.
Yeah.
International,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And what is it, American Federation of County?
State, County, and Municipal Workers.
Okay, American, say that again.
Federation.
State, County, and Municipal Employees. Yeah. And I don't know who's organizing, other than SEIU, but who's organizing...
Yeah, any union that has a strike, you know.
Oh, that's right. But, right, there's...
Striking
the United Farm Workers.
United Farm Workers would be a good example.
Yeah. Especially with the library.
But if there's anybody that's organizing, like McDonald's workers and, you know, mm-hmm. the fast food industry, I don't know. SEIU might be able to tell you, though.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, those people who are working, organizing mm-hmm. low-income mm-hmm. workers mm-hmm. would be a great place for this.
Yeah. Thank you.
Actually, the organizers themselves probably do kind
of. That's true. They may not be too well paid.
Are you already connected with the senior centers in Madison?
Yes, I have been to all the senior centers, the coalitions. And I have to say, most everyone is so supportive, you know, and they'll give me a whole list of things. So it's like, oh, great. It's just time and, you know, now trying to, and I'll spend, you know, this wonderful day in Beloit, and there was a United Healthcare event in Beaver Dam in Watertown last week where they went to a local community and had an event, kind of a finale, where they had blood pressure check, BMI, and then they had collaborated with Feeding America Eastern and gave everybody all this food. And I talked to people and I say, oh my gosh, call this number. But then at the end of the month, and my supervisor calls me in and says, okay, how many applications did this result in? It's like, you know, so it's, I don't know. I mean, I think we're laying the groundwork, and I've said several times I wish it was 2 years, because now I have so many connections.
You're just getting rolling.
Yeah. And I feel like, oh my gosh, we're just, you know, people know who I am. They've seen me once or twice. So now I'm becoming a little more credible.
Right. And it's not just the seniors, but the people who are working, who are doing home care for the seniors,
right.
tend to be a very low paid group of people.
Definitely.
So it's not just the seniors, but the seniors' caregivers mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. connect with.
Right. And many times at senior events, some of the people that have the booth will say, I'm going to take this for my employees,
exactly.
which I'm so appreciative. Mm-hmm. And when I go to a community and I went by a Harley-Davidson place and I went in, because in North Dakota, in Jamestown, where I'm from, we have a really big Harley-Davidson office, and they do huge community outreach work. So I went in there and I said, hey, you know, he said, yeah, oh yeah, I'll share that with you. So, you know, whether we got a call at that moment, I don't know, but it's up on their board, and maybe that one person who's really needs it will see it. And each person that I go out and I enroll them, and they're in tears because they're so grateful for what they do, I'm so grateful that I was able to help them. So even though, you know, maybe I'm not immediately launching into as much as we need to support the grant, but I really feel it's laying the groundwork, and it's letting people know, and each one of you that you let me share this with you today, and now you know, if someone says, what the heck is this? You can say, hey, I know what that is, call the helpline.
If you had somebody that almost made the cut to be eligible, if they contributed part of their income to get below that point to you for other people, would that make them eligible?
They have to fall below the income. I mean,
but if it got below by getting away.
If they're below the income per month, then they would qualify. A 60 and over especially.
But you can't give it away. They get below.
Well, if you give it away, is it your income or is it your assets? If it's your asset, you can do what you want with that. We don't ask that question. So it's just how much per month.
I was thinking about how you can get more revenue, but people who are in the market, if they can get your profit income, so they'd be below, then it would be. Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't work that way, because it's strictly income.
It's
not
strictly
asset.
Income. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you just change the fine print a little bit, you got the whole thing program.
That would be great.
Although, like you said, if that one gal, if you count, really diligently count everything.
Yeah.
All the medical stuff, all the transportation stuff, mm-hmm. the medical stuff.
Which can be daunting, but if you call our helpline and meet with our specialist, they will submit everything for you. So you can, I've had someone dump this entire big pile of stuff on my table. It's like, oh my goodness. Where they wouldn't have probably taken time to sort out and see what they could do it. But by the time we were done, I had submitted it all to the county and they were good to go. So, you know.
So if they have expenses that are eligible, that reduces the income.
It does, but you still have to fall below the guideline. That's kind of the criteria that they just had to draw the line somewhere. So, I think I might have gave you the old
but
flyers.
The expenses make the payout larger.
Right, right, exactly.
I mean,
and I think I gave you the old flyers. So, before I go, if you're still here, I can give you, these are still good, but the new income guidelines are higher, and it's over 19, and how did I miss that and give you the wrong one? I'm so sorry.
Get the right one.
I will go get it in my car. Sorry about that. Yeah, leave these and I'll run and get it. But I'll just pass one of these around if anyone wants to take one. These have the new guidelines. So if you know someone who said, oh, I was just $10 off, I don't qualify, they probably would in November because it's gone up now. So this has the new one, and I'll go get you the other ones. I apologize.
I think the way to get to people who are think they're too proud and stuff is to tell them, do it. It's a chance for Wisconsin to take back from those states that
absolutely
keep getting all the money. We're a donor state. It's,
right,
it's
exactly. Time. We give Wisconsin gives less money than we get from the federal
government. So.
Which I just explained that to somebody the other day. She said, I don't understand that. How? I said, we don't get the military money. That, this was a college educated person. Never, she'd never put that together.
Yeah.
That a state, gives money in taxes but doesn't necessarily get an equal share back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And it brings it to your local economy. It helps people and the farmers and the stores and
the more money coming in.
Yeah.
Now but Is there going to be a gap if the government, if the Congress doesn't pass the farm bill? Well, it's out. Actually, it's out of the farm bill, isn't it?
Right. They split it up.
Well, that's a step forward.
No.
No.
No, because it was in the farm bill because that was a coalition between the rural places who wanted the farm bill passed and the urban places. Somehow they think food shortage is only urban, which it isn't.
They would
support the legislation that included the farm bill, which weren't their constituents. So that's why it was originally
linked.
But now we have these people in Congress who are sort of anti giving money to poor people. And so they split it off.
Stephanie, would you just run? Suppose I'm at the local food bank, and which I do at the YWCA, the kids on Wednesdays, and I talk to some people and I tell them that the phone number you can call. Would you just run through what happens if, now, for example, some of them just speak Spanish, so that's.
Yep, we do have a Spanish speaker.
So let's say they make the call. What happens?
Someone will answer and say, thank you for calling the Food Share Helpline. How can I help you? Would you like to find out if you're eligible? And they'll say, well, yeah, this is how much I make. We'll say, okay, do you have a few minutes? We can do a short little screening, and that can tell you if you're eligible. How many people in your household, and what is your income? So we do, it's an access, do I qualify? And you can see that online if you ever want to go on access. How do I qualify? Or, and it's just a short few minute question. How many people in the household, if there is children, how old are the children? Is anyone pregnant? And just kind of a brief tool. And then at the end, it'll say, okay, it appears that this person will qualify for such and such. And we'll say, it really looks like you might qualify. Can I set you up with an appointment with a specialist? Sure, that would be great. Okay, where do you live? Well, I live in Monroe. Okay, then I'll bring it up. Well, I see that Regina will be at the Monroe Public Library next Thursday at 2. Would that be convenient? Certainly. Okay, so I will send you a follow-up letter confirming the time, and I'll also enclose information on the documentation that you can bring with, and also some information on energy assistance and the ADRC for you to look at. If they say, oh, I can't get there, okay, then we'll say, well, what are you close to? Do you go to the senior center? Do you go to the library? Do you go to St. Vincent's? What is the closest place? Okay, we'll get them to an appointment. If for some reason they can't get out of their house, we'll say, well, we'll mail you an application. If you want to mail it, the directions will be on there. It's kind of our last choice because we want to be able to do that, help them do it. But we still want them to get the information, so we'll mail it to them and they can mail it in.
So will the helpline be available after the groundhog?
Yeah. Yes, the helpline is all the time. My position is just the brief little moment in time trying to educate and share the information, but everything else stays the same.
Would another option be to say, who is your caseworker in the county agency?
Sometimes
through... Will the caseworker help them?
Sometimes they will. If they say I have a caseworker, we will ask, okay, would you prefer that they help you with it? Mm-hmm. Some people are not happy with their caseworkers. And some people are really, really busy and maybe can't get into them. And maybe just being able to go next door to this library is much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So certainly if they say, I'm going to ask my caseworker if she'll help me, absolutely. You know, here's some information, please do. But we try to help everyone that we can.
But you don't make the initiative to get in touch with the caseworker. It's up to them and the caseworker can then talk.
Yeah. And if they say, oh, I have a caseworker already, okay, then we'll often ask, okay, do you have the Quest card? Because sometimes people will say, you know, especially with me going out there and showing these wonderful coupons, like, oh, I got a coupon for $15, how do I get that? Well, that's kind of our plan, is to get them to call and ask the question, but no, you know, they'll think, oh, I have the Quest card, but how can I get this? So there's, you know, a little confusion too. Oh, if you have it, you have the Quest card, that's great. How's it working for you? Are you sure you submit all your documents? Try to, you know, support that. Even if I'm out and people say, oh, I have it. Oh, that's great. Make sure you support, you know, you send this in and how do I send that in? And our specialists will also help with renewals as well. So if you have someone who's not sure, you know, my renewal's coming up, I have to submit this document, I'm not sure how to do it, they can call our helpline, meet with a specialist, she'll do it all for them. So they don't have to do anything. We want to make it as easy as we can, as painless and smooth and easy.
There are two local food banks here. There's one at the Y for the boys and girls, and there's one at the local church up on, was it Raymond and Whitney Way?
And there's also the one at Allied.
Oh, there's, mm-hmm.
Allied.
Got one.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
So this outreach worker, do they already have, are they going to the local libraries here in this area or not? How do we find out?
If you want to know where our outreach workers are?
Yeah. For example, suppose there were some people that say, oh, yeah, I'd like to do that. They make the call, okay? But many of them do not have real transportation. I mean, they're coming there and they're carrying the stuff home. So I'm just asking about, do the outreach workers go to the... Would they go to the Y, would they go to the church, or do they just go to the local library?
No, they'll pretty much, they have, you know, scheduled places they'll go.
Yes, well, normally, from my experience, they had their places to go, and that's it. If you couldn't get there, tough.
Oh, no. If you call our helpline and you have people that especially want some help, they'll go there. You just, you know, it'll have to be scheduled in between things. But if it's me, if you were to call me and say, hey, there's people that need here, then I have the freedom to go wherever because I don't have scheduled places. So as long as I'm doing this, I can go there and enroll them very easily. But the specialists that all also have their designated schedule, you can call the helpline and say, okay, you know, or...
These specialists work for whom?
They work at Second Harvest.
They work
at Second Harvest. They're
volunteers. Okay. No, the specialists are paid staff, okay. Food share outreach specialists that just do outreach for an enrollment or application assistance for food share. They don't do anything else. So they aren't, you know, experts on the, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, energy assistance. But they are experts on the food share.
And they work with all age groups.
Yes, yes. And three of them speak Spanish, which is phenomenal. I wish I did. But
I don't know how to spell that.
So if, pardon me?
And the Quest card can be used for medication as well?
No, just food. Just food that you prepare yourself. Walgreens, Walmart has food, dollar stores, Papa Murphy's Pizza. Because it's fresh food that you buy and prepare yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's funny.
Of course, it's all there.
Pardon me?
It's all, the food isn't like it, is it?
Right, it's all fresh. And so in the meantime, to answer that question, if you have somewhere that you have some people that want to be enrolled, keep my card, let me know, and I will come out to wherever. When I'm gone, still continue calling the helpline, you know, and let them know, okay, I have several people in this place that want to be enrolled. Can a specialist come here and do that?
Yeah, well, I will explore with the local and food bank leaders. Mm-hmm.
And many of our specialists do go to the food banks.
They may have done this already. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe not. Maybe they haven't been there for a while, you know. I always ask whenever I go somewhere, have our specialists been here? Because they're all over, and I have so many things I'm doing. I don't always know exactly. It's like, well, they were here about 6 months ago, so it's okay, good that I checked in. And if nothing else, you can leave flyers, and I'll go get the current flyers. I apologize. I don't know how I managed to grab the only bad ones in my car. Does anyone want a few extra? Should I grab a few to hand out? Okay, we're back. Sure, absolutely. And then if you have more questions, I'll be glad to answer anything, but let me get rid of these things here.
I guess that concludes the formal presentation then. Sure. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.